Turning your Bibles to John 21, we're continuing the course in our study of the commission, and we're looking at selected passages in God's Word dealing with our commission. Now, of course, we've seen we're looking at God's plan and purpose for those of us who know Christ as Savior. We've been looking at Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, those five places. The passages, of course, give us a commission, but each one has a little bit different nuance, a little different emphasis. Well, this evening, we're continuing looking at the Gospel of John. In fact, in this book, we're looking at three different passages. We've already seen two of the three. Tonight will be the third section. One, we saw that they were to go out with the Word of God. Second section, which we saw, was they were to give the message of forgiveness. The third section, which is the one that we're starting tonight because we won't finish it all the way, but the third section is, he says, feed the sheep. So may we be encouraged to fulfill our commission as we see God's plan and purpose for us. So let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for the great food that you provided for us and just all the ones that worked behind the scenes to fix it all, hand it all out, clean it all up. Lord, it just means so much that we can come here anytime we want to, especially on Wednesday nights and eat and have a great time. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to pray, the opportunity to study your word. We ask you that as we look at John 21, some of the truths that are there, things that we see there that we'll be able to make application in our own lives. Lord, we thank you for the privilege that we have of being able to gather together with fellow believers. Thank you for our great country, and we just ask you to give wisdom to the leadership as they make decisions that affect a lot of people's lives. So we just ask you for wisdom for our great nation. Lord, thank you for tonight, and as we come together, Lord, we ask you that you would teach us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we think about the commission, we've always said as we look through it that there's really a twofold aspect of the Great Commission. It is evangelism and training. The Bible talks about making disciples. That's the whole thing. It's evangelism and training. Evangelism, of course, leading people to Christ, and then training is teaching them God's Word and teaching them the truths and principles from the Word of God so they can make application. I think overall, the church as a whole, when I say the church, I'm talking about the organized church in the United States, has misunderstood the commission. In fact, I think that as a whole, the church seems to have focused only on one part of the commission, and of course that's evangelism. Historically, the church has always said that the goal is to go out and to lead people to Christ, and I think that because of that, they've historically missed the aspect of training and equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. The key is teaching believers to know and apply God's word, equipping them to do ministry to fulfill the Great Commission. So many people, I think, they come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, they come into the body of Christ, but they never really grow. In fact, I think all of us know people who've been in churches for most of their lives, and when you get down to basic truths of the Bible, they don't have a clue. They don't understand how it all fits together. And I think there's several reasons for that. One is I think that a lot of people still have the mentality that the ministry is done by the clergy, that and that's a term meaning the professional people, and the people called the layman, which I've never used that term. In fact, I don't like the term clergy or layman. I don't think Bible even has those kind of words. Bible doesn't say here's a professional group and here's the non-professional group. Never says that at all. But I think there's a lot of people who think, okay, there's sort of the people that are hired to do the ministry, and they're the ones that know it all, and then over here it's just the laity, as it's called, and we don't do much. No, I think that's wrong. Some have also never understood the concept of training in the Scripture. The Ephesians 4:12, where it talks about equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. Now, the reason I talked about all that is we get into John 21 and study this commission that we've been looking at, this final passage of the Gospel of John, and we've seen three different sections. This is the third. He talks about feeding the sheep. In fact, we're going to see Jesus where he meets with Peter, and he says, Peter, do you love me? Yes, feed my sheep. And we're going to talk about the feeding of the sheep, which is the aspect of training or equipping or teaching the believers. So as we study tonight, our goal, of course, is to make application in our lives, both individually and corporately, as a local body, and we'll see that. Let's begin just with a brief review. And, you know, I've got the overhead, and I'm not even going to put that up there, but we've started looking at the church, you know, basically our commission, both individually and corporately, and it was the same thing. It was to fulfill the ministry of reconciliation. We're to tell people how God has reconciled himself to us, God has reconciled us to himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so when we think about that, we're to carry that ministry out. Well, we saw that there were five places in the New Testament, and there are probably more aspects, but these are the five that I'm highlighting in our study, five places that talk about our commission. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, those five places, each one has a little bit distinctiveness, each one has a little bit different emphasis, but to put it all together, we could say we go in the the name of Jesus Christ to all people, making disciples as we give the message of forgiveness of sin and train believers to serve. That's what we've been doing. Well, we spent time in Matthew, and the emphasis was discipleship. We looked at making disciples and both evangelism and training. We looked at Mark. We looked at Luke. Now we're in John, and what we decided to do is we saw that John has several things, the idea of sending people out and feeding the sheep, but we looked at three different passages in John, which is a little bit unusual. But John, and if you remember this, and you don't have to write this down if you want to, but the first time we looked at this, we looked at John 17, 13 through 20, where there was the charge to go out with the Word of God. Then in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23, which is what we saw last time, the whole idea was the forgiveness of sins. Go out with the message of forgiveness of sins in the power of the Holy Spirit. Then the third thing, which is what we're going to see tonight, and it's going to take us 2 weeks to go through this because I just think there's so much there, I don't want to go too fast, but in John chapter 21, verses basically 15 through almost the end of the chapter, but 15 through 17, he tells him, feed the sheep. And that's a little bit different nuance. Now, both aspects of evangelism and training are found in these three passages of the Gospel of John. If you remember in John 17, he says, go out to the world with the truth of the Word of God. That's evangelism. We saw last time in John 20, 19 through 23, go out with the forgiveness of sins. That's also evangelism. But in this passage, when we see that he says, feed the sheep, tend my sheep, shepherd my sheep, we're going to see that's the training part. So in the Gospel of John, as very much like the Gospel of Matthew, we see the emphasis is both evangelism and training as we go out. So there's a lot of things there. Well, let's begin. As we look at John 21, go ahead and turn to John 21. We find Jesus is meeting with his men. This, we're going to see in this passage, is the third time. Now, you know, if you want to, sometimes you could sit down and you could say, okay, I'm gonna mark down all the times that Jesus appears to people after his death and resurrection. And it's a little bit complicated. You've got to go to all of the Gospels, and you'll see that in one Gospel it talks about something, but the other Gospel doesn't, and so you have to put them all together. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 21, this is going to tell us this is the third time that he appears to them. And this doesn't take place in Jerusalem. This takes place in Galilee. If you remember, before Jesus even died, he told them that he was going to die and rise again, and he would meet them in Galilee. If you remember, after he arose from the grave and he talked to Mary, he said, tell them to go to the mountain that I talked to them about in Galilee. When we came to the Gospel of Matthew and we saw the commission there, it says they came into Galilee to the mountain that Jesus had instructed them on. So we're going to find when we get into chapter 21 of the Gospel of John, they're now in Galilee, and this is going to be the third time that Jesus appears to them. Now, in this passage, the main person is Peter. That's going to be emphasized. And we're going to see how Jesus deals with Peter, and I think what we can do is to make some application, because the emphasis here is to teach, feed the sheep, and we'll see how it ties together. Well, the disciples have gone to Galilee. They're waiting for Jesus to come. Remember his instructions, go and wait. What are they doing? Look at chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. The Sea of Tiberias, by the way, is the same as the Sea of Galilee. Sometimes it was called Tiberias, sometimes Galilee. And he manifested himself in this way. Now, Jesus is going to make himself known by the Sea of Galilee. This is not exactly the place that he told them, because remember in the Gospel of Matthew, they were to go to a mountain that he had already pointed out. Well, they're not there yet. In fact, they're at the Sea of Galilee. They're at the Sea of Tiberias. And what does Peter decide to do? What have they done all of their lives? Fish. So, you know, why not go fishing? You know, right? I wonder where Barker is, because he'd love to fish. But anyway, look what it says. Here's the people that were together. Look at verse 2. There was, of course, Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus. Didymus means twin. Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee. Who were the sons of Zebedee? James and John and two others of his disciples. Now, how would you feel? Wouldn't you say, why didn't you list my name? I mean, you just said, and two others. I mean, then we were there too. But they're not there. They're not listed. Anyway, what happens? He got the list of the disciples, and notice, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we will also come with you. And they went out and got in the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Now, Peter makes a statement. It's a decision. We find that there's two ways you can look at this. Could it be that Peter and the guys are there and they say, you know, Jesus hadn't shown up yet and he said for us to come up this way and look for him. We hadn't seen him yet. So what should we do while we wait? Peter says, you know, I think I'll just go fishing. And the guy said, yeah, because we do that a lot. We've done that a lot. That's one way of looking at it. Some people have read into it a little bit more than that. And they've said things like, Peter is sort of discouraged, and things hadn't turned out like he thought. Jesus hadn't shown up. And so he says, you know, I'm going fishing. Like, I might as well just go back to what I used to do, and that was be a fisherman. Now, I don't really see that. Some people say that. I see that Peter is saying, you know, I'm going fishing because what else am I going to do until I see Jesus again? You know, that's the plan. So he's fishing. Notice what happens, verse 4. But when the day was now breaking, remember they fished during the night. When the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Now, they're out there fishing, and they look up, and there's a man on the beach. They don't know it's Jesus. You know, there are several places throughout the Scripture that after the resurrection of Jesus, he somehow veiled himself so that people did not know who he was. The two guys on the road to Emmaus did not know it was Jesus until he revealed himself to him. And in some other places, and here they're looking out there, and they don't know who it is. It doesn't look like Jesus, obviously. Or they would have said, look, who is that? That's Jesus, isn't it? But they don't say that. He calls to them, and he says something like this. He said, how are you doing on fishing? And, of course, they fished all night and didn't catch anything. And they said, we didn't really catch much. And he says, just throw it out to the side over there. Now, that rings a bell, doesn't it? Because at the very beginning of the ministry, this is the end of his ministry. At the very beginning of his ministry, there was Peter and some others out there fishing. And Jesus goes up to him. They know who he is. He's been teaching. And he says, have you done fishing? And they go, we worked all night, didn't catch a thing. He said, just throw it out to the side of the boat there. And they, at that point, say, well, you may be a rabbi, but we are fishermen. We worked all night. We kind of know where the fish are. But Peter looks at him and says, well, we fished all night and didn't catch anything, but because you asked us to do it, and they threw the net out, and it was so much that the boats began to sink. And that's when Peter said, you're the Son of God. Depart from me. I'm a wicked man. Now, that was the very first of the ministry. Now it's the very end of the ministry. And Jesus goes, y'all catch any fish? And they go, no, we worked all night, didn't catch a thing. He said, just throw it out to the side. And you can see them going, sounds familiar. And, of course, there's a lot of fish. In fact, there's so many fish, they can hardly pull it in. And when that happens, it's pretty incredible. And notice verse 7. The disciple, therefore, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, it's the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. Now, who's the disciple that Jesus loved? That's John. That's the guy writing the book. You know, and you know, sometimes when you study the Bible, we have this impression almost that there's Jesus, and he's sort of like, especially if you watch some of those movies about Jesus, he's sort of in a trance as he walks around, and just people kind of follow him, and he does his thing, you know. Jesus was, he loved people. He had all these people following him. He had these women following him. He had 12 guys that he'd chosen. Of the 12 guys, he had three guys that were his closest, Peter, James, and John. And of the three guys, he had one who he called himself the disciple Jesus loved. Loved the most is what he's saying. Because he was the guy that got to be the closest to Jesus. And so John writes it and says, and then the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's me, says John, said to Peter, hey, it's the Lord. That's who it is. Peter heard that and he thought, realized it was the Lord. He put his outer garment on because he'd been stripped, you know, out there. And so he threw himself in the sea. He said, I'm not even going to wait for the boat to get back because I believe all this fish will slow us down. I'm going to get back to the shore as fast as I can because I want to see him. So pretty incredible. Well, they get back to the shore, of course, and when they get back there, they're ready to eat and they pull out the fish. Do you know how many fish they pulled up? Verse 11, Simon Peter went up and he drew the net full of large fish, 153. Although there were so many, the net was not torn. Wow, pretty incredible. And when they got to the land, there was already a little fire going. And so Jesus says, want to eat? And so in verse 13, Jesus came and he took bread and he gave it to them and the fish likewise. Then notice John's statement. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Third time. Now John's giving us this information because now he's going to pick out a special, special event in the life of Peter. And as we look at this, I think there are four things that we want to see in this little passage. We're going to see two of them tonight and two of them next time. But let me give you the four things. And this may surprise you a little bit. The first one, number one, is that Jesus wants he and Peter to be reconciled the way they're supposed to be. And what he wants is for Peter to admit that he loves Jesus. Now that may surprise you, but what had Peter done already? Denied him. So in a sense, what he's trying to do is get Peter back in the right frame of mind. He's going to say, Peter, you need to admit. You need to know where you are right now. I know you love me. You need to say you love me. You need to get over that past failure. There's the second thing we're going to see in this, and that is he's going to use Peter. He says, Peter, feed my sheep. Now, regardless of the past failures, he's going to use Peter. Now, you know what that means for us? How many times you failed him? Bunches? You know what he says? Hey, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you. I want to use you. I'm choosing to use you. So I want you to understand past failures do not stop you from serving God now. It's pretty incredible. Then there's a third thing I think we'll see as we go through this. And one is the charge is to feed the sheep, to tend the sheep, to take care of the lambs. And we'll talk about that. But that's part of this commission that we're talking about. Here's what he tells them to do. And then the fourth thing is, and we'll talk about this next time and how it fits together, is how did they feed the sheep? What does it mean to tend the sheep, shepherd the sheep, feed the sheep? We'll talk about that. Bottom line goes back to the truths of the Word of God. That's what we see all the way through the rest of the New Testament. The emphasis is the Word of God. So that's what we'll see. Let's talk about this for a second. The first one, first key thing is the reconciliation. I think God wants to see Peter back with him. Jesus Christ wants Peter to admit, to say, I love you. Do you know that Peter has a hard time saying that? Now, have you ever had a hard time saying I love you to people that you love? I had a hard time saying that to my daddy. I don't know why. I regret it. I hate it. You know, I tell everybody I love him now. But you know, I didn't do that. I didn't always do that. When my daddy died, I realized you only have so much time to tell people you love them, so you might as well tell them you love them. When you feel like telling them you love them, you might as well tell them, and don't say, well, I'll tell them some other time. And I think at this stage, Peter is having a hard time saying, I love you, Jesus, because he feels like, I failed you. How can I say I love you when I failed you? And what Jesus says is, look, I love you. You need to say you love me. Peter had denied him three times. If you look in this passage carefully, three times Jesus says, do you love me, Peter? And we'll see that. Sometimes in our lives, we deny him. We fail. We fail him. We deny him by our words and by our actions. And what we need to say sometimes is, I love you even though I'm not doing very good. I still love you. So we'll see that. There's a second thing I want you to see as we start through this. And that is, and I mentioned it a while ago, but God will use you. The past failure does not stop us from serving God now. Three times in this passage, he tells Peter to feed the sheep. Three times to feed the sheep. How many times did Peter fail? Three times. How many times does he tell him, I want you to serve me? Three different times. God's going to use us even when we failed. Now that's a great comfort to every one of us in this room, because how often do we fail? We say, well, I fail a lot of times. Well, he's still going to use you for his honor and his glory. Long as he leaves you on this earth, you can guarantee that he will take you and use you. Well, let's see what happens. Look at verse 15. This is sort of a famous passage, and we'll go through it, and if you got questions or comments or anything, we'll look at it. Look at John 15. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Well, we've got some questions to raise about these statements. Do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my lambs. Now, that's the first statement. Now, I want you to notice something. Do you notice? Let me read the verse slowly, and you tell me if you notice anything about what Jesus says. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John. Do you notice anything different? What did Jesus used to call him? Peter, which means what? The rock. Notice he didn't call him Rocky. He didn't call him Rock. He called him Simon, son of John. I think that's because Peter didn't feel much like a rock. He didn't feel much like he was sort of a stable guy. I mean, you got to remember that it hasn't been but a few days since he denied Jesus Christ three times. So this is a hard time in his life. Now, notice the question. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? These what? These what? Now you picture yourself. What are you picturing? You picturing Jesus and the guys, not all of them, but the ones that he mentioned, and they're sitting around eating, and Jesus is right close to Peter, and he looks at Peter and says, Simon, you love me more than these what? Huh? The fish? Think the fish? Could it be the fish? Could he be saying, do you love me more than fishing? Going back to your old life, going back to your old job. Which one do you love the most? Do you love me or do you love being a fisherman? Could he be saying that? He might could. Could he be saying, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than the rest of these guys? Could he be saying that? It could be. In the original language, the way it's written, it could also be saying, do you love me more? More than what? Just more. Do you love me more than anything? The way the Greek is written there, it could be any of those three. If I was guessing, I'd say, and I'm just guessing, because you don't really know, I think he's talking about life as well. Do you love me more than anything else? Do you love me more than anything else? Because you know who I am. So he says, do you love me? Now, I want you to understand that the answer, of course, is yes, I love you. You know, and we'll talk more about the you know in just a minute. But you can't tell it in English. But in the original language, there, as you know, there are three or four different Greek words for love. There's a Greek word eros. It's not even found in the New Testament. We get the word erotic from it, and it has an idea of a physical attraction or a sexual aspect. Then there's a Greek word storge, which is only used one time in the New Testament. It's connected with another. It has an idea of a partnership type love, like almost a, you know, two people saying, we're in this thing together. Then there's the word phileo, which is used a lot of times in the New Testament, and it is a word that has an idea of a friendship. It's close, but it's more of a friendship type love. And then there's the Greek word agape, or agapao is the verb, agape is the noun, and it's always used of God's love. It's the unconditional love. God so loved the world and all this. Now, Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? And he uses the word agapao or agape. He uses what we'd call it, the big word for love. Do you love me, Peter? Now, do you love me more than all this stuff? Now, look how Peter answers. And he said, yes, Lord, you know. Now, I'm going to stop for a second because the you know, the word that he uses for know is not a word like, there's two Greek words for know. One means I come to know something, like you go somewhere and somebody says that to you and you go, oh, now I got it. That's I come to know. There's another Greek word that means know, like you just know it. This is the word here. He says, you know, you just know, you just know. You didn't just learn it. You know it. You know that I phileo. He doesn't use agape love. He says, you know that I love you, but it's not the same word. And some say that Jesus is saying, don't you love me? And he's saying, I love you, but it's like a friendly love. Why would Peter say that? Huh? I think that's right. I think he's saying, I just, you know, I don't know if I can say that I love you the way you really want me to love you because what I've done. You ever feel like you don't love God the way that you should love God because you don't obey him? Because he says, if you love me, you'll do what? Keep my commandments, right? Well, Jesus said, do you agape love me? And Peter said, you know that I phileo love you. Look what he says. Okay, that's fine. Tend my lambs. The word tend means take care of the lambs, take care of the little ones. You love me? Okay, here's my charge. Here's my commission. Take care of the sheep. We'll talk more about that when we, maybe next week, when we get into the feeding the sheep part. Well, watch, it's not over because he denied him three times. Jesus is going to come back. He's going to make sure it's three times. Look at verse 16. He said to him again a second time. Notice how the emphasis is on these times. This is the second time. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Guess what? What word do you think it is? It's agape. Do you love me? Notice he didn't say more than these. He just said, do you love me? And he said to him, here's Peter answering back, yes, Lord, you know. You know everything. You know that I, phileo, love you. Because see, I just can't hardly say agape because I just don't know if I measure up. He said, here's what I want you to do then. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. That's a neat word because it has that idea of to pastor them, to take care of the sheep. Who are the sheep? Could it be other believers? I mean, is he telling Peter, you go out and you take care. Look, I'm putting you in a place of responsibility. You take care of these other believers. Because that's what's going to happen. You know that Peter and James and John, and Peter's going to go out and he's going to lead people to Christ. He's going to stand up on the day of Pentecost. He's going to talk. They're going to be discipling people. They're going to be the main people. This is what he's telling them to do. So two times, do you love me? Do you agape love me? Well, you know that I phileo love you. Two for two. It goes the third time. He denied him three times. He's going to make him say, I love you three times. But notice, verse 17, he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And you know what Jesus says this time? Phileo. Do you phileo love me? Do you love me? Do you friendly love me? Notice, Simon, son of John, do you friendly love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? He's bothered. This is just tearing him up because he thinks, how can you keep asking me this when I've already failed you? You know that I love you. And so Jesus said, okay, you know, do you agape love me? Well, you know, I phileo love you. Do you agape love me? I phileo love you. Okay, do you phileo love me? Yes. Yes, you know I do. In fact, verse 17 says, Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. He's almost saying, why do you keep asking me? You really know everything. You know how I don't feel like I can measure up. But what's Jesus asking to do twice? What's he asking to do? Take care of the sheep. Listen, if he didn't measure up, would he be asking him, take care of my sheep? He's saying, Peter, get out of this stuff. The past is past. Forget the things that are behind and press on to what is ahead. And sometimes we spend so much time talking about how we failed God that we don't serve him now. So he says, Peter's grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know all things. You know that I phileo. Phileo. He never gets to agape there. And sometimes we feel the same way. And he says, you know that I phileo love you. And Jesus said, tend my sheep. Each time he says, do you love me? Yes. Each time he says, take care of my sheep. Now, two things that I want us to stop there because that's the first two aspects. There's two more things to really see. But you remember the first two aspects. The one is that God desires the reconciliation and that Peter to say, I love you, and to realize that the three denials, that's over. And if you said, I deny you, well, then now you say, I love you. Just get that thing behind you. It's past. The failure is over. Once you denied, now you proclaim your love. And we think about this ourselves. Do we love Jesus? I bet you every one of us in the room would say, well, I don't know if I really agape love him. Because that's really loving him. And I mean, look how we do sometimes. And look how we think sometimes. And how we don't measure up. And I failed. So I don't know if I could say that I love him the way that he wants me to love him. He loves us. And he wants us to love him. He knows our failures. He knows what we think. He knows how we are. As Psalm 103 says, he knows our frame. He knows we're just dust. How many human beings have lived and not failed him? Just the God-man, who wasn't really just a human being. He's the God-man. So all of us fail. All of us fall short of the glory of God. All of us come short. Even when he puts us in the right places at the right time, we still sometimes mess up. So what does that mean? That means he still loves us. He says, I just want you to know that your last thing doesn't have to be I deny. Your last thing can be I love. So where are we? Are we saying, boy, did I blow it? Or are we saying, hey, I blew it, but I love him and I want my life to count for him. There's a second thing that I think, and that's the charge to take care of the sheep. And this helps me because regardless of the past, he's saying, regardless of the past, I want you to serve me. And that's a powerful thing because there's every one of us. Let me tell you this story. When I trusted Christ, you know, and I was 19, and then I went for about 4 or 5 years, and I didn't grow very much. And then when I was 25, when I was at Mississippi State, I realized my life was pretty miserable. And so I turned to God and said, I want my life to count for you. I'm tired of living a miserable life. I know I'm going to heaven, but I'm living bad, and I want to turn my life around, and I want to start serving you. And my life's never been the same since then. But, you know, for a while, but I was on fire, and I was studying. God let me lead all these people to Christ. I had this Bible study for a football camp one time, and about 15, 20 guys on the floor trusted Christ in a week time period. So things were rolling, and I was the happiest, and then I did something bad. I'm not going to tell you what it was, but I did something bad. And, oh, man, for 3 days, I can remember saying, I cannot believe I let God down. After all he's done for me, how he's not only saved me, but he's let me do this and do this and do this. And to think that it's pitiful. And a lot of you have heard me talk about nap. And I remember that after about 2 or 3 days, nap said, what's going on? You're looking bad, man. You're looking bad. I'm like this. So I said, oh, yeah. I've really blown it. He said, you know, what's the deal? You know, he said, well, did you confess? And I said, well, yeah, I confess. Yeah. He said, what's the deal? I said, well, I just, you know, I don't think, you know, how God, I let God down. He said, let me tell you something. That's exactly what the prince of this world wants you to think, that you can't serve God and you let God down and you'll just mope around the rest of your life. That's exactly what he wants you to do. Now, forget the things that are behind. Deal with your sin. Get your life and go on. I went, okay. Good. But, you know, it's you got to think that there are times in our lives that we blow it. What does Jesus say to Peter? Listen, I don't care what happened. You love me? Then you serve me. But what about when I don't care? That's not the point. What has he done with our sin? He's placed it as far as the east is from the west. God's love is unchanging. If you serve him, he loves you to the maximum. If you don't serve him, he loves you to the maximum. His love never changes, whether we fail or not. And he will use us regardless of our past failures. That is a key. Well, we're going to stop here, but the next key aspect is going to be feeding the sheep. And that's the commission. And we're going to see, what does he say to him? And there's another part here, because you remember what's going to happen? You know, Peter's just like the rest of us. He sees John going by, and he says, well, what about that guy? And Jesus says, what's that to you? I didn't ask you to, I'm not going to tell you about his life. What if I decide I'll let him live till I come back? What do you think about that one? Peter went, never mind. Yeah. And we'll see that whole issue of looking at other people's ministries. We'll talk a little bit about that next time, because what is the ministry? To feed the sheep. What did we say? Jesus wanted Peter to be reconciled, to show his love. Basically, Jesus wanted to use Peter, and Peter is to feed the sheep. Well, let me give you application. First of all, let's show our love for Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the key. Regardless of the past failures, regardless of what's happened in our lives, we show our love for him. And how in the world do we show that we love him? By obeying him, by living according to the word of God, by letting our lives count for him, by offering our lives as living sacrifices, by saying to God, I want my life to count for you. I want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want to serve you. We love God and we love others. That's the key. The second thing is seek to serve him regardless of the past failures. He wants to use you. It doesn't matter what's happened. You may have heard people say, well, if you've ever done that, listen, that's people talking. That's not your Savior talking. And then finally, and we'll get more detail next week, let's feed the sheep. And we're going to talk about that. It has to do with the Word of God. May we show love as we serve our Savior, feeding the sheep. Let's pray. We'll open up for any questions you might have. Heavenly Father, thank you for the passage. And as we see, of course, Peter and Jesus, and Peter with Jesus, and Jesus asking him to love. And Lord, we realize that you love us. You love us so much. And you want us to love you. And you want us to remove those old failure things and think about that right now we want to love you and serve you. And I pray, Lord, that we in this room will show that we love you by serving you. And Lord, thank you that even when we fail, that as long as you've got us on this earth, that you can use us and you will use us. And Lord, we want to forget those things that are behind, and we want to press on to ahead, things that are ahead, and we want to feed the sheep. We want to be used by you to make a difference in the lives of other people. And Lord, we ask you that you would teach us in all this and help us to make application. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.